Last time, just real briefly, we talked a little bit about this idea that Wittenberg had become an icon out there. All the cities were looking to them. And they stood on a precipice. They could hear the word of God and keep it, or they could bow to the pressure that was going to be put on them from all sides. There were these Roman Catholics who attempted to bring people back under their umbrella by force. There were, and I love the German word for this, the Schwärmerei, right? The enthusiasts who tried to show people that what mattered was a feeling of devotion to God, and they depended on revelations from Him into their hearts. And there were even what would be called the Reformed, eventually led most famously by John Calvin, who pushed Wittenberg to keep reforming and get rid of anything that looked, tasted, or smelled Roman Catholic. But Wittenberg, led faithfully by Luther's theology, the theology of the Word of God, had held fast. I put it in these terms that Wittenberg held fast because what would come next would actually place the need of doctrine firmly within the hands and on the shoulders of the leaders of the cities and towns, the elected officials, the mayors, the town councils, the princes, and even the electors. In fact, while the theologians kept bringing the church back to the Word of God, it was those who were in political power who ultimately had to lay their reputations and, quite literally, their necks down in order to continue that confession of faith. What happened there was incredible, and led by Luther, under the protection of Frederick the Wise, it gave rise to what we have in the church today, where the people of God are called to listen to His word with open ears, so that you can know that when your theologians, when your pastors and teachers are deviating from the word and turning away toward any of those groups we've mentioned today, you can call them back to faith. See, people came to Wittenberg from all over to see these changes, to see how it's done. There was even a group of nuns who in 1523 escaped from their convent in pickle barrels. We all know that story. They abandoned their vows, and this was a capital offense in that day. If they were caught, they could have been killed. They were seeking the freedom of which they had heard tell. And eventually, all of these nuns would be married off to godly men. Except for one hard-headed nun who, no matter who it was that she was matched with, refused to marry unless it was Luther himself. And so Luther, worn down by trying to match her up, desiring to show how much he valued marriage, and perhaps having even fallen for her just a little bit, finally relented and married the former nun, Catherine von Bora. He married her in 1525. And the world actually watched this with great interest, this ex-monk and the escaped nun. And they saw that life was good. Frederick the Wise, though, died that same year that they were married, just a month later, or a month before Luther would get married. And when that happened, the world held its breath. Who is going to defend Luther and the faith now? Remember, Luther only was able to live because of what Frederick the Wise had been doing. They thought maybe the whole Reformation was going to collapse under its own weight. But God saw fit to elect Frederick's older brother, or younger brother, excuse me, John the Steadfast, he came to be called, and he did well. He guided the whole region into peace. He organized the Lutherans into a bit of power, both at the state and administrative levels. He worked to organize, actually, pastoral visits all across Saxony, when pastors would go out and they would evaluate what they were being taught in the churches who left Rome behind. And quite honestly, that wasn't always good news. And if you've ever read Luther's introduction to the Small Catechism, which is a little bit, risque, which is why we take his introduction to the Small Catechism and put it at the back of the Catechism, you would know that it wasn't always good. That actually it led to him writing that Small Catechism. That was intended to help parents teach the faith to their children so that the Word of God would be in each parish. This led to Lutherans finally saying the whole Mass, the whole service in German in 1525, having Lutherans ordain their first pastors on their own. They were working on new hymnals and new church instructions. And ultimately, Wittenberg's courage would inspire many other cities to follow suit. And the Lutheran movement began to build up steam all the way to Augsburg, which we will talk about next time. Let's pray. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own, and to confirm those who come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.